Hello and welcome, and thank you for joining us. I'm Dave Petzo. You're listening to Money Matters. And this is a confusing week. My sweet baby told me today, she says, so what are you going to talk about today? And I said, I'm really not sure yet. Yeah, today. And it was really funny because I was thinking about that on Thursday and Friday, and I'm like, I don't know. Because I think I'm like you. I'm sad that we can't trust voting in this country. And we can't. I don't care what side you're on. You can't trust it when people can mail in ballots. It's just, we know that a lot of people don't vote. But when you get numbers in some areas that are like higher than the registered vote count or very near all of the registered voters, you know that's not true. Or people get two or three ballots at their house. Yeah, what can go wrong with that? When bags of ballots are found, and you're trying to believe that there's justice and there's not. We have a media that's biased. We have so much anger, and people just tear down the cities. But it's mostly peaceful protests. When policemen get assaulted, it's just mostly peaceful. It's just the one shooting, you know. Most people aren't shooting people. They're just stealing watches, and that's mostly peaceful. And so we have this weird thing that came into this election, and yet people responded, right? They didn't have a blue wave. Almost had a red wave. This is still America, you know, and people do believe in justice and all. And I'm not here to talk about politics. I'm here to help everybody understand what markets do. When we have so much angst, how can markets go up? How can these people, these charlatans, come out and, yeah, you get to have market participation with no risk. Guarantee, guarantee, guarantee. And, oh, no, go buy gold. Put it in your basement. Gold's the only thing that you can have, and it'll the only thing that'll keep value. Nobody would fall for that stuff if they weren't scared. And so it's important to understand that when we sit there with that fire hose of negative data shooting at you, that this is America and we figure out a way. And we do. By golly, we do figure out a way. We move forward. We absolutely move forward. And we will. And I always, you know, sometimes these things seem overly simplistic, but it really doesn't matter who the president of the United States is to how many iPhones will be sold next year. Can you continue to own your Apple stock or the mutual funds that you own that own Apple? Yeah. You can. You absolutely can. It's not going to be an issue. To Apple, to Google, and so on, and many, many other companies. That's why we have to sometimes put this in the right context and the right thoughts and not just get caught up in the negativity. It's a hard disconnect for most people. For all of us. What do I mean, most people? It's just something that with training you can really see and feel and get to know that the thing that I have to do is I need to sometimes back away from the TV, back away from the news to have any clarity at all. It's not just about creating joy in my life, although that probably is really super important. It's actual clarity. It's actually how is this impacting things? And if it's constant, just bang, 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 I know what you feel like as a human being. I get it. I need more data. It's a natural it's a natural feeling, right? An airplane's going, as you imagine you're a pilot, and all of a sudden you're like, this isn't working right. I need more data. Something's wrong. The engine's out. What's going on? I need to figure this out. We want more data. We need more information in order to stop the crisis. That is true in that type of situation. It's not true when you just sit there and take in too much. You can't wait as a, let's say, a general in a war to make a decision and get all the data in. It's too late. We have to act on good information. And maybe even just, that's enough, let me think. Let's do this thing. That is exactly what we need to do. But we don't do that. We're sucked in more and more and more. And that's natural human tendency. That's just natural. So I think I'm like you. I'm frustrated, but I'm also in many ways really happy that instead of this blue wave of far left weirdness, I mean, we're all just like, what is going on? What is going on? And what's going on with the Democratic Party that it's just so far left? Where are the moderates? They're nowhere. The same people that were moderate 8 years ago are screaming leftists. That's fine. I think that's what's sinking that ship. And we can only hope they don't learn from it and hide their agenda behind phony policy statements. This isn't a Republican and Democrat thing. It's a far left, I don't like America or want any part of America anymore, versus the rest of us. I certainly have lots of policy differences with people on my own street. I know they don't. I know they vote Democrat. And that's fine. But I don't see him out there saying, you can't believe what you believe. We want to cancel you. This cancel culture thing's gotten out of hand. So I'm proud of my country. I think that we're going to get through this. We took it to the edge, and yet again, we came back. I'm going to remain hopeful for President Trump, but that's what it is at this point. And that's fine. And that's maybe your belief. Maybe it's not. But it isn't going to tank the markets. Because I'm telling you, the markets already believe this is what's going to happen. The House, the power in the House, and Nancy Pelosi specifically, has been greatly diminished. This is not a bad thing for the markets. Number two, the Senate is going to remain as a check on the lunacy of the policies that were touted before the election, which is also why this may line up as a political statement. I believe it's a market statement that we are not going to allow that to happen in our country, to go so far left that the people who are trying to drag it left are going to be losing power. That's good. That's really good. Getting rid of fracking in our country is beyond insane, as an example. I know what you're thinking, but Joe Biden said he wants to get rid of fracking. I know, but he's not going to. Joe Biden obviously doesn't know what he thinks because he changes his mind all the time. I can't believe he's going to be president either. That seems incredible to me. I think people are just so tired of the fighting. But it's not going to be this leftist agenda. And I even believe that people like Elizabeth Warren aren't going to be part of this cabinet because that sends the same message. We can't govern. Democrats are also in a position to lose the House in 2 years. 2 years. They know it. You've probably read it. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. No blue wave. Market goes up 7% last week. 7. You got to go back a number of months to find a 7% week. Big deal. I'll talk about it more in the next hour. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we got Jim up to bat. And hopefully your phone calls at 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for Thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Sorry, Joe Biden moment there. And our email is dave@petsofinancial.net. All right, let's go to the phones. Jim, how are you doing today?
Morning, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing better than I deserve, for sure, and better than I was feeling earlier in the week. How's that?
Oh, yeah, great. I was just going to say, recently I've gone down for the cataract thing, you know, and I'm finding out I didn't have that bad a cataract, but the one thing they did do was take my blood pressure, and it was high, and the last time I went to a doctor, it was high, and, you know, it's been a, you know, high for, you know, probably most people.
Jim, are you high? What's going on here? Are you high?
My blood, well, I don't know. I'm not high on anything external out of my body, so I decided to do something about it. So now I'm taking some, minerals, basically like magnesium and cinnamon. Anyway, seems to be bringing down the blood pressure, which is a good thing. Now, the high blood pressure, in my case, has nothing to do with the election. And it's a bummer. It is a bummer that we can't even get a proper way to vote when we know it can be done. But the one thing about it is that I personally think that I cannot do a damn thing about it. Now, I can join a group, but back in the 60s or whatever, I've never been one to congregate, to march, to hold a sign. I'm one of the, you might say, silent majority that you wonder if we're the majority anymore. But anyway, peacefulness comes from within, right? I mean, you may not like an election or whatever, but unless, you know, I mean, there's nothing you do about it. So basically, cool it and don't lose your good health over it.
Well, it's a good point, and that's exactly the roller coaster I think so many people are going through right now. It's not over. We're going to have more recounts, things like that, and I'm sure there'll be lots and lots of ballots that are found or not found and argued about. But I think you're right, Jim. I think part of that is we need to get this right. This is not right that we can't trust. I mean, 100% trust. It's not okay, and it always seems to be the Democratic strongholds of Philadelphia and Chicago. Chicago, I've grown up in my whole life. It's like, yeah, Chicago, you know, they vote dead people there, and I sometimes I just go, why is that okay? How is that okay? Why do we accept that? It's like when you go to the DMV, it's the DMV. They're sloths. They can't do it. You got to wait in line for hours. It's like, then fire them. Everything else in our world is easy and wonderful. You pick up a phone, you can order food, you can do everything with your phone. They can't get the DMV right? Then get rid of people. Why is it acceptable in certain things that we just accept that? Like medicine, you can't, you know, the doctor's not on time. I don't find that to be true anymore. They seem to be on time because people are outraged that there's just this idea I can go and sit around for 2 hours and wait for the doctor to get to me. And so these things change, but I'm still baffled. We just don't we accept. And we would accept that, yep, you know what's wrong?
You know, Dave.
All right.
The one thing they ought to have is a national rule for voting.
What do you mean? Yeah, you got 30 seconds. Go. What do you mean?
Yeah, well, they need national rules, not state by state, for voting.
Right. Agree. I agree with you on that.
That's the problem.
Yep, I do. Thanks, Jim. Have a good day. Thanks for the call. All right, we're going to take a break. You hear the music. We're taking a break here for Fox News. In the second hour, I want to talk about this. Why is the market so darn happy? And why don't elections matter more? And that's really as Jennifer Stone and the rest of them last week, I got no time here, went and talked about last week. We do well no matter what, or no matter which party's in power. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And of course, this is hour number two. I'm Dave Petso, and these are my opinions only. It's not this station. These are my opinions. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, 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 and sell, sell, sell. Not at all. That's noise, and that's stupid. It's more, if you will, it's to me, it's like the magician that wants you to look at the left hand while the right hand is playing the tricks, right? It deflects us. It takes us away from what this is really, which is owning great corporations, sometimes for our whole life, right? At least until they change. We talk about this just with single stocks, and I know I use Apple a lot, and I should. Why? Because it's the biggest company in the world, and it sure wasn't 10 years ago and 12 years ago when it came out with the most amazing, earth-changing device. I'm sure there's more amazing things that have happened, but none that has affected our society in a way that the iPhone has. It's amazing. So you didn't have to own Apple from its IPO days. You didn't have to own Google from the IPO days. But if you don't own them, if you try to trade them, and as people will sometimes say, you know, being in the Wall Street casino, you know, okay, it's a scare tactic. I totally get it that you know, people don't want to try to explain something in detail or try to hide things. So they call it a casino. But here's what the casino's done since 1926. It's gone up and down many times, and it's averaged 10% per year. And nothing else has been close to that. I don't mean like, you know, this bunch of other things did 8%. No, they didn't. No. You know, for over long periods of time, even a little bit more interest or compounding investment returns, however you want to phrase it, is a ton of money. It's exponential more. Like $10,000 grows to $100,000 in a CD over, you know, like 35 years or something. Again, making it up because interest rates change. But, okay, same period of time. That same $10,000 would be like $2 million in the market. It's exponential. It's not even close. And people say, it's only a couple percent more, and it's gets to be guaranteed or whatever. Yeah, guaranteed not to keep up with inflation. Super guarantee. We have to define risk differently. When something's gone up 10% per year all your life, and all you have to do is own it, that almost seems like a made-up thing. But it's not. It's what the market's done, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I know my Uncle Joe lost everything in the financial recession. Well, what happened? Well, you know, it went way down, so Joe sold out. Okay, well, okay. I don't know what to say. Remember the tech bubble in 2000? Oh, man, that was something else. Yeah, if you weren't diversified, it was unbelievably bad. And it took 20 years to come back if all you owned were tech stocks like air.com. Sorry, air.com didn't work out. But to blame the market, the beautiful creative destruction that it is, on your bad behavior or Uncle Joe's bad behavior and those lessons learned when I was a child from Uncle Joe, that's really kind of dumb, honestly. And it's what con artists use all the time to point to things. Like, it's a Wall Street casino. Okay. Now I'm scared. So sell me some high commission product, please. Just as long as you tell me it's guaranteed. It's made up. And when you think about this, what we're focusing on is the wrong stuff all the time. All the time. We don't talk about your behavior. We talk about the market. What's going to happen about the election? What's going to happen here? What's going to happen? If you hold your positions through no matter what kind of nonsense people are talking about, you've gotten 10%. Well, I'm not getting 10% because Okay. Well, that might be true if you're diversified and you have a little bit of some other investments that aren't going to be going up and down with the market. They're not designed to. That will diminish those returns. Or maybe you're getting more than that because you're focused on growth, which has been unbelievable, meaning the tech stocks, basically, right? Or areas of super growth, biotechnology, right? Genetics, robotics. These are super growth areas, and they've been super great. So some people are making more on that piece. And when we think about it behavior-wise, what you're really trying to do is position your portfolio to do what you're trying to do. And if I were to say, because I think this is fairly true of retirees, and I get this question all the time, but Dave, I'm 70 years old and I can't wait for another recovery. For what? Well, I mean, what are you talking about? For what? Like the date of death, you want to hand off millions of dollars to your kids. What is your goal? Well, I would like to have cost of living adjusted income all the days of my life, no matter how long I live. Okay, well, what in that statement sounds like price movement to you? Well, you know, I mean, if it went down, then I would get less. No, you wouldn't. No, you would not. Because we think of like a bucket at a bank that if you have $100,000 in your bucket and then they give it a little bit of interest, you know, back in the day when you earned any interest, but let's just say you got some interest and you had another bucket that had $200,000 in it, you know very well that you get more interest on that bucket. Yeah, right. That's great. Not true in stocks. Not remotely true about stocks. Dividends go up every year. I shouldn't say every. 99% of the years. They go up. Sometimes you have a financial collapse like you did 2008. Guess what happened? All the banks were required by the government to pay no dividends. We have to make sure the system's safe. You can't pay dividends during that period. So dividends got cut. And then they began rising again the next year. Did they get cut to zero? No, they went down a tiny bit. But collectively, for the last 70 years, the dividends on the S&P 500, which is the good, the bad, and the ugly, that is to say that this is companies like WorldCom and Enron, borrowing from Clint Eastwood's great movie, the ugly are the WorldComs and Enrons, the ones that just go poof, and all of your capital is lost. Whew. That's not good. And then we have the bad, which isn't really bad. I mean, that'd be like Google and Amazon, Priceline. They don't pay any dividends at all. But they're in the S&P 500, as we well know. In fact, they're a huge part of the S&P 500, are the non-income payers. But that's not what you would want if you were like trying to draw income. But collectively, even with those in there, the dividends of the S&P 500 have gone up at 3 times the rate of inflation, 9% a year. Your income has gone up. What did I just say about the price? Nothing. But I said everything, didn't I? I said, hey, everything that matters is what you receive as income from your investments, correct? I mean, we talk about growth while you're young, but in the end, the reason people buy investments is what? For the income they produce. Whether it's a building, a stock, a CD. People don't go, you know, I'm going to pick that CD over there, get pays less. No, they would say, I want the one that pays more, whether you were taking the income at the time or not. So objectively, what you're saying is that on this investment, we are always looking for what ultimately it will produce. Now, we can call income earnings, like we're trying to grow, because right now I earn income. I don't need my income from my investments. But we're always looking at it on a risk-adjusted basis, aren't we? Why money flows into stocks or flows into bonds. When interest rates go higher, people tend to pay less for, you know, or give less value to stocks. More value to saying, hey, you know what? I'm good with a government guaranteed 8% bond when rates are high. You know what? I think people would line up around the block if they had an 8% government guaranteed, wouldn't you? Right? We would. That's why stocks would be worth a lot less. But they don't do that very often, right? So stocks over time earn lots of money. But when we take that all together and understand that what we're really saying is that effectively, stocks, not the Wall Street casino, but stocks themselves produce a rising stream of income like no other investment on the planet. Nothing comes close. Not real estate, certainly not bonds. They have a fixed income. They don't raise income at all. They guarantee to give you back less money over whatever period you've tied it up after inflation. That's what they do. They're not there to defeat inflation. They're to guarantee losing to inflation. Certainly in today's interest rate environment, that's true. And rarely, after taxes, after inflation, do you make any money in bonds. Rarely in history. But you do in stocks. And you have to do nothing except behave. And people have a hard time behaving, boy, don't we? Right? We all have trouble with that. We get emotional. We watch too much news. We get too much angst about the, what about the election? Oh, what about QE? What about the financial collapse? What is that Obama guy trying to do? We all feel it. And in a world that we just won't turn down the box, we just mesmerize. Get some more coffee, honey. Let's watch another hour of doomsday reports. It's incredible how much data comes at us. All of it world ending. And then, of course, you parade around all of these washed up actors to tell you, you know, you need the flashy thing for your knee. Not listen to your doctor. You need also, then, I have no idea who this guy is, but I know what's in his safe. It's gold. Gold is in his safe. And I'm going, wow, I recognize that guy. He must have been in some movie or something. I need to know what's in his safe. And I want to adjust my portfolios to what an old actor has in his safe. Yeah, that's smart investment. But this is what's coming at us all the time. Or you want to be safe. You want to be safe. Okay, stay out of the Wall Street casino. I mean, all of this stuff, which is complete garbage, as we know. But we feel that. And it affects us all the time. For example, the United States of America is the leading energy producer in the world. What world did you grow up in? What world did you grow up in? Because that wasn't the world I grew up in. I'm not quite 60 years old. But the world I grew up in, when I was in junior high, they taught me. They taught me, right? I watched film strips, and they taught me that the world would be orange in 20 years. They taught me that. That's what I knew to be a fact. I went home, told Mom and Dad, well, I don't know what's going on, Mom and Dad, but the world's going to be orange. It's bad. It's bad. People are bad. And the world's going to be orange and polluted, and we're all going to die. That's what they taught me today. That's what they taught all of us. That didn't happen. And now there's literally 100 million more people in America alone, and it's cleaner. Sorry. I know it's a tough one to swallow, but the world is actually cleaner than it was with billions more people. I know that doesn't fit the narrative. But it's true. It's true. I know. I was at LA as a kid. It was like gray. Not so gray anymore. With millions more people. I grew up in a world knowing that for an absolute fact, we were going to run out of oil. Books were written. Smart people counted all the barrels that were out there, the production available. We knew. And we had the energy crisis, the oil embargo in 1973. Gas lines. And we relied on the Arabs for oil. We fought wars. People died so we could have oil because we were going to run out. That was a fact we were taught. now we take for granted, literally, and move on to the next crisis of this is why we're all going to die. Just ask the young people. Polar bears are dying. The poles are ending. The world is warming. Or is it cooling? Doesn't matter. Hurricanes are caused by climate change. Or they just occur. I'm not sure we had a lot of hurricanes. I'm sure there was some kind of weird amount of human activity at that time or shortly before that caused all the hurricanes, which are like off the charts how bad they were. But everything today, there's a tornado here. There's a fire over there. It's all because of what they learned in school. And we all are affected by that. And all we do is we get closer to the TV, closer to the data, and we never stop to reflect on the progress, the technology that cleans up the world and allows us to produce and become the number one energy country in the world. And I'm going to say it too, the number one clean energy country in the world, because we're the Saudi Arabia of natural gas, which is super clean. Now, not being a scientist and all that, but I would also argue it's the cleanest that there is. Well, wait a minute. What about solar power? What, the solar panels are like they create themselves? Or do you have to dig up a lot of silicon and process it with lots and lots of carbon in order to make a photocell to capture the sun? And those batteries, those are, I mean, come on, the cars are just like, there's nothing to creating a lithium battery. They're like cake. They don't cost any carbon. But natural gas is very little. And it's part of the reason that we're greener in the world than we've ever been. Because so much electricity and everything is produced by it. But we forget that. I know I do. That's why literally I've kept this chart now for 3 years. 4 years now. I just keep this chart. I don't need it updated. I already know. The amount of production in the United States has gone even higher. Even higher. So we worry about getting rid of fracking. That's just Joe Biden pandering and being a moron, which he is. But that's also why we don't need to worry. Because you see, that blue or that red state blue senator who has a whole lot of energy production in his district, he's not voting for getting rid of fracking. He'd like to get reelected in 22 and or 24. He's certainly not going to shut down a million jobs in his state, no matter what the president wants. So as we look at this and we worry about the elections and worry about all this, sometimes I just draw back and I go, it doesn't matter who the president is. We've dealt with nut jobs, horrifying presidents before. We're now going to be looking, it looks like, okay, I'm just going to say it looks like. You can hold out hope. That's great. But I'm saying that Wall Street's base case is that Sleepy Joe can't put a sentence together, isn't in charge, isn't bad. That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to have a president that doesn't really know who he is. It's not bad. It's not bad because the House has been neutered. The Senate has a nice check on everything, and we have a president that just doesn't know what he stands for, and that's kind of okay for a couple years till then the House can get knocked over, and then we have another presidential election, and we're not going to destroy America between now and then. It's not good. It's not good, but it's not world-ending, thus the market goes up 7%. It's about us behaving and not freaking out because our political guy's not in or what have you. We have to react and understand, or not overreact, excuse me, not react. Just understand that owning the great corporations of the world is like the easiest way to wealth. It's not even imaginable. A cup of coffee a day for 40 years. Invested in the great corporations of America is over $1 million. What other game do you want to play? Let's figure out ways to destroy wealth. Throw it here. Bail out here. I don't know. I'm really nervous. I'm this, I'm that, or whatever. Freak yourself out. Turn the volume up on that box. Watch even more bad news. Listen to charlatans to sell you on a guarantee in the Wall Street casino. That's how you muck it up. It's all about behavior. And I don't know a week in my life that wasn't more in your face about that. Well, Wall Street doesn't like anything uncertain. You're right, it doesn't. It's certain. It's become very certain that A, we get the same president, or B, we have a completely impotent guy. Doesn't know who he is. And the Senate's going to be able to check all that. It's okay. We came in with some fear, and now we've rallied 7%, and the election's not decided. Uncertainty? Yeah. We became more certain. It's over. It's over. We've gotten to or near the finish line on this, and it's not a disaster. There is no blue wave. That's the certainty. And America is America, the top energy producer in the country. And I grew up knowing we were out of oil, that the world was going to be orange, just like kids today. They'll grow up one day. Don't worry about them. Yes, we have to fight for our education system and get it back. Having all this nutty stuff that is getting shoved down their throat means that they're out of existence for 10 years as contributing members of society. But even that's changing, isn't it? Isn't it? Doesn't it feel like the cancel culture just got canceled? It does a little bit to me this week. I don't know. I got to take a break. All right, I got to take a break. I'm done. We need to talk about what you want to talk about at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Bob's up to bat next, and we've got three lines open. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number here is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I don't say it enough, but it's great to be in here on Saturdays with Kevin on the board. He does a great job, and I really appreciate him doing that. You guys, you know, he works hard during the week, as you well know, all week long, and still has to come in here and run the board on Saturdays. So, Kevin, thank you for doing that, and great job, and I appreciate the, I appreciate the job you're doing. I really do. Really do. It's just great to have your input as well. All right, let's give you the number again, 580-KIDO. That's our number on the phones. Let's go to Bob. Bob, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I recently read someplace that talked about the market being overvalued and equities getting expensive. Is that an academic term, or is it something meaningful to mutual fund managers and to you?
Bob, that's a fabulous question. It really is. I'm gonna tackle this two different ways. Okay, are stocks expensive historically? Yep, they are, based on their price to earnings ratios. But let me set that aside, and I'm gonna talk about that. Hopefully, if I don't get back to it, Bob, it's because I took the off ramp and lost my mind somewhere. So you bring me back, okay?
Yeah.
But because I want to address exactly why I don't think that that's true. Okay, but I really want to put it this way too, because this is very, very important. Academics have called this market expensive for various reasons for more than a decade, and even before that for multiple times. Because in this business, if you make some kind of big call, like God's whispered in your ear that the market's going to crash, you somehow become heroic and make millions of dollars over a short period of time before you flame out because nobody gets it right. You can't. I mean, the Market Timing Hall of Fame is empty. I just don't know sometimes, and here I'm going to digress just a little bit, why we think we've got this. I mean, to me, it's just so obvious. Right now, it's obvious heading into the election. You've got to hold cash. Well, you just missed 7% move this week. Nice move. A really nice move. And smooth, baby, for putting everything in cash. You miss it, you never get it back. And now what do you do? Wait for the correction that's going to come when the Supreme Court decides this? I mean, you got lots of stuff going on in that head, don't you? About not getting back in. You're trapped out. Bad call, deadly call. Don't make those calls. But how many people make those calls? And they do. And again, they're aided by the, you know, get out of the Wall Street casino crowd. I get that. It's what their job is to do, is to steal your money. That's their job. And the way to do it is through fear. But we got to rise above that. And Bob, your question is phenomenal. When you think about where people have been over the last 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, on, about talking about some doom and gloom back when we had high inflation. I've been around long enough, and I still have my brains enough to know what was going on when I started in 1980 and 21.5% interest rates. And where we've come from 800 on the Dow to 28,000 on the Dow. Greatest investment on the planet. Didn't look like it at the time. Never does. Lots of things you can pile on to the news as to why the world is ending. And so we hear these calls all the time. And there was this, in 1987, when the market crashed for a day and then soared up, you'd think nothing happened if you just went into a cave for a year, because the market was actually up 6% in 1987. But this lady, and she'd had great legs, and the reason I make fun of that is because she became so famous for calling a market crash, which she didn't really call, but she got credit for it, calling a market crash, that they did a legs commercial with her starring in it. That's how famous she became. She's gone. She was gone in a year. She started getting all this money, all this fame, and she can't time it. So that's how come people tend to do that. They try to make a big name for themselves. And so they're trying to call these things all the time. And for various reasons, and you can always find a data point in your behavior, in your favor. So let me circle back. And Robert Shiller's another one, right? Nobel Prize winning guy. Come click on our website. He says the market, the Shiller Index, all that stuff, has been dead wrong. I mean, so wrong. Millions of dollars lost. Billions, excuse me, trillions of dollars if you followed his advice. Collectively. But people do, because it's Robert Shiller. And he's been saying stocks have been overpriced for 10 years. Can you imagine that?
So, Dave, does overvalued then or expensive mean that you're buying, does that mean like you're buying fluff like in dot-com bubble? Or
that's
what does that actually mean, overvalued?
Right. And let me say why.
There's nothing behind it?
There is. The idea is the price-to-earnings ratios or book values, things like that. So book value used to be an important measure in business, right? But with depreciation, right, digitalizing everything, what do you think Google's book value is? A couple buildings? Nothing like, I mean, like we're going to use that as a measure? We don't anymore. But for a long time, it was used as a valuation technique. Now, it's mostly price-to-earnings ratios. Price-to-earnings ratios, right? So you've got that, and as those P.E. ratios are there, that's some basis. But when you have a world where you have a lot of companies, their earnings went to zero, okay? Cruise lines, airlines, should we use that index and then say companies like Google and Amazon, which are killing it, right? Are selling for way too much because they're at 60 times earnings, even though they're growing by weeds. Like, you know, they're growing crazily. So the answer is no. It's not a good standalone index to measure the market. It's particularly bad right now because we have such a bifurcated market between the haves and the have-nots, where everything looks pricey if we blend it together and then say, wow, the P.E. ratios have just never been this high in the S&P 500. Well, that's not true. It sometimes does. And we have to look forward, not behind, in the midst of a pandemic where we shut down the economy of the world. So we shut down the economy and airlines, you know, again, no pun intended, but they fall out of the sky, their earnings do, right? And so you look at that and you say, this is how we measure stocks. No, we have to think past just a simple number and look at what's going on. And when we consider the innovation that's going on with the Googles, the Amazons, the world shifting towards digital, it's, you may not like Facebook and you may not like Twitter, and I don't, and I hate what they're doing, and I hate the, what, you know, all the way around what they're doing. But the bottom line is this: these companies are growing, and they're growing so fast, and they're growing with almost no assets, meaning they don't have to go out with huge amounts of capital. Digitalizing everything is changing everything, and if you don't think forward, you're destined to always be trapped in, we're going to run out of oil. The world is going to be orange, and we're all going to die. If we don't think forward, it doesn't mean you make up the future, but you have to be thinking forward. What's coming? Artificial intelligence. What's that's going to change? Don't you think that with artificial intelligence, we're going to solve cancer? Don't you think with artificial intelligence and bigger and better technology generally, we're going to figure out how we're going to have a less carbon world in the future? I know we are. We already have. And these things are going forward. And to say that companies that are in front of that aren't making the money and controlling the world is missing the point. It misses the point by a mile to simply make a statement the market is too expensive. So I hope that answers it. Yes, it's too expensive based on history, and it's irrelevant also based on history.
So to hear those words, it doesn't affect how you yourself invest then.
It does in sectors.
It's not a functional term for you.
Yes. It doesn't to the market, correct. It does in sectors, which is also why you have to be diversified. I think that the next 12 to 24 months, for example, I actually think that technology is going to do fine. But what I think is going to come back really strong is going to be leisure companies as we handle coronavirus. And as we go through this long, dark winter that our now declared president apparently he was just got has been declared president because of Pennsylvania, and is now going to say, hey, you know, it's a long, dark winter coming up, and maybe it is for coronavirus. But is coronavirus going to be here forever? No, it's not. Does that mean people stay in their cave forever? Nope. Saw it. I saw it last night. I saw it the night before. I saw it again. People are out and they wear their mask to go somewhere. They take it off and then they chat like they always have. We're moving on. We're done. People are getting on airplanes. They're going to go see their grandkids. Do what you want to do. And that's your own right. I'm not telling people to do that. I'm just saying I see it every single day. And I know you do too. It's not that people aren't being careful. They've just moved on with their life. They're not hiding anymore. And that is why we saw this week the great jobs coming back again. We saw manufacturing. Again, it's highest in 2 years. And we see a 7% rally in the market in the midst of a terribly unhinged election. Bob, I got to roll. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a great day. Thank you for the call. Okay, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Gary, Terry, hang on. You're up to bat next, and I've got a nice email as well, so I appreciate that. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. What a super fast and furious day this is, and we're going to have a fast little go here. Hey, I'm going to read part of this email here because... Well, it's very humbling, so thank you, Robert. I'll just read part of it, though, and because I think it applies to everybody, and I just want to thank you on the rest of this that I'm not for being so kind, and I really appreciate that very much. Good morning, Dave. I'm not alone when I tell you how depressed I've been this week. The swamp is stealing this election. Nobody with any power is sticking up for our president. In spite of it all, Donald Trump has beaten them before, and only a fool would bet against him at this point. Thanks once again for counseling us and pumping us up to live another day. And I'll leave the rest off. Thank you, Bob. I just appreciate it. It was awfully kind of you to say all those other things I just wanted to say. But for the rest of us as well, I understand. It's been an emotional roller coaster of a week. And it is hard to not feel defeated, concerned. It's a tough week. And I think from my own perspective, when you have somebody that is as corrupt as obviously Biden is and his family and gets away with it and becomes president thanks to a complicit press, that's frightening. I grew up in a world of Russia and Pravda, and that's exactly what we have. So I worry about it, but I worry less too, because somewhere the message got out that there was no blue wave. There was no blue wave. So let's keep our chin up. We're going to get through this, and I think America is going to live to fight another day. I really do. As the week wore on, I'm just much more optimistic. Gary, go ahead, please. Take it away.
Good morning, Mr. Kasso.
Good morning. Thanks for calling.
You were talking about diversification. I'm investing for income, being a retiree. And can you talk a little bit about the real estate investment trusts, or REITs, as one of those possible diversifications as opposed to regular stocks and equities?
Absolutely. You bet. I think they're a great tool, and also they do come in the form of stocks. They're called publicly traded REITs, right? So you can buy them on the exchanges. And unfortunately, they've gotten crushed this year. Crushed, right? But I will say this, as I'm looking right at the exact data. Now, this is through the end of last year. The number one performing sector is REITs for the last 20 years. Number one, 11%. Now, that's publicly traded. Be careful. That's a little different than what I think you're talking about. So when we're talking about non-publicly traded, they don't move around day to day. They're priced usually. Some of them actually now come in the form of mutual funds, and I would focus there rather than on the ones that are, what we call the traditional non-publicly traded. Be very careful there. Costs can be extraordinarily high. They're high enough in real estate, as you can imagine. But it's getting better. It's getting more available to people. Instead of needing 50 or 100 million or more dollars to invest, which the institutions have, they collect them, and now they're available to you and I through the form of some mutual funds. But be careful in that space. But I love it. I love using it, especially in the income, because they're typically around 5% income in a zero interest world. For me, it's a bond replacement right now in portfolio management, and I really would look at them, but do your homework. Be careful, okay? So I do like them, and I particularly like the valuations in the public space if, as we talked about our behavior before, if you can look past price. If you can't, then just call them in a stock bucket.
All right. What metrics would you recommend? You say do your homework, do your due diligence. What metrics should a person look at in the REITs?
Yeah. Okay. Number one, do not buy income. Anybody that's stretching for, well, this one pays 6% versus this one for 5. Without even looking, I'd buy the 5. Okay? I just am telling you. But you know what people do? They buy the 6, which means it's levered up more. It means it's at a much higher risk of being cut. It may not even be earning that much. It may be actually using the capital to pay the dividend. You don't never want that. You're just that's what I call phony marketing. And it is phony. It ought to be illegal. It is not, but it is phony marketing. Don't chase yield. So number one. Number two, look at what the costs are, and I mean all the way through. You know, you're going to pay 2% and up in real estate. Now, you don't if you go out and put up with the publicly traded ones. But that's not, they're still taking fees for operating, so it probably is that. But these other ones are going to be 2% and up for a mutual fund of those. But look for track record, look for costs that aren't out of control, and also liquidity as well. Is it liquid, or are you stuck in it until they decide to get you out? Okay? So those are the kind of things you want to look at. And I know it's a complicated space. I'm saying go do your due diligence. Yes, sir, you got to go do your due diligence. But that's not easy. That's not easy to do. So if it's not something you're going to go do, then you're going to have to go and look at your financial advisor, if you have one, and talk and have them. In fact, they ought to be doing that for you. But the point is you need to look into the space and learn more about it before you just dive in and say, I heard REITs were good. That's true, but there's a big world of REITs out there, and I do think that they should be attracting a lot of attention right now as a bond substitute in your portfolio, because I can't buy a 0.7% 10-year treasury. Can you? And say, that's my bond piece, and that's going to work for my 4% of income? It's not. It's not. It's not. Gary, I got to run. Thank you.
Thank you, Espresso.
Have a great day. All right. Terry and Luke, you hang on. I'll grab you off air. I am running out of time here because I ran so long earlier. And yes, we're going to have a, how does Rush put it? An obscene profit break coming up before the news at the top of the hour. Everybody, thank you. And if you have time, we'd love to hear from you at petsofinancial.com. Just shoot over your emails, your comments, what things you want to talk about. We also have podcasts if you miss anything there and you want to hear it. There you go. And also, YouTube, Petso Financial is on YouTube now. All right, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for tuning in.